The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a completely different group of people, either from the previous 12 cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf in Masechet Yoma brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Chof. We're holding the Halakha Mishnah Becho Yom. Becho Yom tormim et ha-mizbeach b'kriyat ha-gever o samuch lo, ben lefanav, ben l'acharav. So normally, and we're going to see that this is one of the few places where the Torah allows a sliding zman. It's basically going to be important to Yukim and the Psukim to understand this. It's a very rare kind of thing where we have different times of doing an Aveda. So normally, the Aveda of the Trumas HaDeshen, now the Trumas HaDeshen consisted really, in technical terms, specifically of taking one shovelful of the ash on the Mizbeach and putting it down the next to the Mizbeach, and then the removal of the rest of the ash. That's not the Truma, that's the cleaning of the Mizbeach. That is the Sila Kadeshan that was taken out. And it consisted also, before you were able to do the actual Truma, you had to rake all of the pieces of coals and pieces of meat that were still burning to the middle in what was called the Tapuach, because it was shaped like the shape of a... We take that word tapuach simply to mean a round shape, like an apple. Should we use that word tapuach? But that's not really true. The word tapuach simply means swollen, tafuach. And it's really a reference in terms of the time of the Mishnah. It's really a reference to the way that they used to put grapes together in a pile so that they would heat from the slow oxygenation. And that way they would be easier to crush. And they would simply break open and the juice would start coming out. And that was in the shape of, that was what they used to call it, the fourth. It would get swollen and break open. So the Mizbeach looked like that also. But for our purposes, the Puach talks to us very, very straight, right? Then a big pile, circular pile of ash. Okay. And we would do that, and then we would do the actual Truma. Now this, and it was a thing. It didn't have a din, we'll see later on, Mamash of Aveda to be Mechayev Azar, perhaps, that we're going to discuss much later. But it was the first thing that needed to be done, because it was kosher at night. As a matter of fact, there are some of the Davka had to be at night, even though the Rambam says from Alot HaShachar. So Becho Yom, on a normal day, there was plenty of time, and because of that, we did the Trumat HaDeshen right at the Kriyat HaGever. And we'll see what that means. That might mean the crow of the cock, or it might mean the announcement of an individual is appointed to wake up the Kohen. I mean, we already discussed that earlier. And it could be a little bit before, a little bit afterwards. In other words, the Zman is not kavua for a particular instant. On Yom Kippur, we actually started earlier. And because of that, we started to do the Trumat HaDeshen from Chatzot, in the midnight. And during the Regalim, we'll see why in the Gemara it was different. During the Regalim, when there was so much work to be done, and so many crowds in the Beis HaMikdash, so we wanted to do it as early as possible. It was done even in the first order of the night, Mashmorah HaRishona. And during the Regalim, oh my gosh, by the time Kriyat HaGever came, you'd think it was midnight at Times Square, or middle of the day in normal places. So, Achaita Zarab Melei Ami Yisrael, it would be filled with people who were bringing their korbanot. Tananot. Now, we're going to see, and we have a whole analysis in Zvachim, Evorim shepaku miagabei ha-mizbeach, sorry. The Evorim that popped off of the Mizbeach in the middle of the night. So the dinner is like this. Kodem Chatzot, if it's before Chatzot, then you have to put them back on the Mizbeach. Now, obviously, this is only if they have something left to burn. We're not talking about completely carbonized ash. We're talking about that they're completely on fire, but they could keep on burning for another hour before they're totally carbonized. And so, if they pop off, then if it's before Chatzot, you're still, if you use them, being nene from Lachmesh HaMizbeach, and therefore you're going to be Chayev Me'ilah, you have to pay for that, and you have to pay an additional Chomesh, and you have to bring a Korban Hashem Me'ilah. But La'achar Chatzot, first of all, you don't even put them up on the Mizbeach anymore, even if there's something left to be burned. And this is a legal principle which is called Chatzot Oseh Iku, which means that the moment of Chatzot actually creates the din din of ikul means digestion. It creates digestion, in which case it's no longer lachma shemizbeach. It's as if it's already been digested by the mizbeach. And because of that, it's also not going to be b'chayiv yun me'ila. Ve'in mo'alim b'hem, you also are not mo'al. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that it does say anything in the Torah about chatzot? And you're claiming that once it's chatzot, it's basically, for all intents and purposes, ash, whether it is physically ash or isn't physically ash. How do you get that? Omar Rav, well, let's take a look at the pasuk. We have two psukim, one following the other, in which the first pasuk says, the opening of Tzav, Tzav et Aaron, et Banav, Zot Torat Ha'olah, Hi Ha'olah, Ha'mogdal, Ha'mizbeach, Kol Ha'layla, Ha'boker, Ve'ish Ha'mizbeach, Tukat Bo. Now, what is that telling you? Hi Ha'olah, Ha'boker means keep burning that carbon Eila all the way until the morning. Okay, so that means that the time for Haktara is all the way till the morning. So apparently you're supposed to be continuously making certain that these things are both to pop off of the Mizbeach, put them back on the Mizbeach. That's what it seems to be saying. But then, take a look at the very next pasuk. You want to turn off your video, please. Take a look at the next pasuk. V'lavasha kohen midobad umichde seivad yubash al bisoro ve'irimet hadesher asher tochala ish et olala mizbeach v'samoy etzal mizbeach. Now note that there was no break. It didn't say, and now it's morning, right? We're still in the middle of the night. Kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. So somehow, kol ha'layla ad ha'boker, you can do also the next thing. That is to say, ve'irimet hadesher asher tochala ish et olala mizbeach. It doesn't say only do that in the morning. Now, I don't get it. Which one is it? Is it the time for the Hakrava, or is it the time for Trumat HaDeshen, asks Rav. So let's look at the two psukim. Kol HaLayla, on the one hand, it says V'hiktir. I mean, it doesn't really say V'hiktir, but it says Yola, which means you're going to be doing Haktara. On the other hand, it says Kol HaLayla, and then goes on to say V'rimet HaDeshen. Now, which one is it? HaKetza. Therefore, the only possibility, says Rav, is to split the night. Chalkeu Chetzio LaHaktara, V'Chetzio LaHarama. So use half of the night for one, and half of the night for the other. In which case, it's telling you that at the moment of Chatzot, you know that it's considered to be ash, and at that point, you can be Meirim at the Nes HaDeshen, whether it is literally physically ash, or whether it isn't physically ash. Fine. Asks Rav Kahana from our Mishnah. I mean, what you have done, Rav, is essentially, you have defined the time midioraita. You're saying that since the Torah tells us two contradictory psukim, and the only way we can understand them is by assuming that there is a chalkehu, that you're meant to use half for this and half for that, then you're giving me a zman dioraita for haroma. You're telling me the zman of haroma is from chatzos. That's what you're saying. How do you understand the Mishnah? B'chol yom, our Mishnah just said, b'chol yom, tormim et ha-mizbeach b'kriyat ha-gever, towards the morning. Samuch lo, b'milfanav, b'milacharav, b'yom ha-kipurim, mechatzot. Ragolim, miashmura, rishona. I don't understand. How are you allowed to do the Aromas HaDeshen before Chatzot? You just said that we're only supposed to do the Trumat HaDeshen from Chatzot. Ve'izal kadaitach mechatzot is dioraita. If it's only a chiyav of Trumat HaDeshen from the Torah, from Chatzot, so then heichi makdiminan. What right do you have to be makdim and bring the Aromas HaDeshen from before, if this is not a time that is kosher for aroma? I don't understand. You see, it's all very nice, Rav, to concentrate on simply the question of Chatzot or Seiku. And that's what we've been concentrating on. Is the ash ro'oi l'harama or not? So we understand there may be two levels in that. Obviously, if it is ash, it is ash. I mean, a pasuk could tell me it's ash. There's nothing left to burn. So there was nasek mitzvato. So the only chiddush that Rav is looking for is what makes something that is not completely burned into the equivalent of ash. Okay, tainis Rav Kahana, that's all very nice, but that is not the focus of the pasuk. The focus of the pasuk is when to do the job of haroma, correct? It's ve'irim et hadesh. You're saying that the pasuk is telling me that only from chatzot, ve'irim et hadesh. So how do you understand a mishnah that says that if it's yantiv, you start even earlier? You can't start even earlier. You'll say, well, what do you mean? But there's ashes. So what if there's ashes? But the Torah said ve'irim et hadesh. Suppose it had said refers in the pasuk ve'irim et hadesh and mechatzot. You would have told me that I'm allowed to start being ve'irim et hadesh from the mashmura rishona. It's outrageous. So you can't ignore the implications. I understand that that wasn't your focus. The focus is in the din of ikul. But lamaisa, you're telling me that's what the pasuk is saying. So this drasha doesn't work because it has implications that lead to consequences that contradict the Mishnah. And furthermore, and Tosfos has this girsa. Vehechi ma'achrinan. How could we do it later? Rashi says, well, I mean, you know, what do we care if we do it later? I mean, why would it say, what right do you have to do later? Why not? I mean, the Torah is giving you all of this time to do it. Tosfos says, well, it makes sense to say vehechi ma'achrinan, because you see, if there's a specific time, then we always are very makbid in the Beis HaMikdash for Zrizim Magdim in the Mitzvot, right? So wait, what do you mean? The Torah says, and from Chatzot do the Aroma. So like, well, you know, we got time, I'll wait. Whoever heard of such things? We're always makbid to do things as early as possible. We make gezeiros, you know, we don't want to fall asleep on a job and so on and so on. Why would we be macher as if there's a mile to be macher? The Torah says it makes sense to say Ve'echim Macharina. I just want you to know that in general, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's whole approach about chatzot oseh yikru, meaning that something which is not digested literally, that is to say, it's not naaseh mitzvato in terms of being deshem. So because it's naaseh mitzvato vis-a-vis me'ilah, you're going to call it deshem. And he brings riyas. It's not called deshem. You still have to make sure that you take away all of the gechalim that are still borod, you put them on the tapuah. The deshem is only min ha-me'ukalot ha-pnimiot, this is the lashon, as we'll see later. You have to take from something that is totally physically gone. So, and therefore, it isn't really quite the way Rashi is saying it. Therefore, it becomes deshen. Therefore, take it as deshen. The point isn't that it's deshen. The point is that it's mu'ukal. And therefore, there's no din of vehiktir. Not there's a din of vehirim. There's a different way of looking at it. All right, but in any event, we've got a problem with Rav. The consequences of Rav's drosha do not fit with our mission. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, therefore comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, this is not, this indeed is no good, because there's no way out of the problem of why are we able to go before Chatzot. Let's look at the pasuk differently and say like this. Read the pasuk. As it says, Hi ha'ola kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. Now, what in the world is the meaning of ad ha'boker if you say kol ha'layla? Any idiot knows that kol ha'layla is ad ha'boker. That's the definition of kol ha'layla, right? So kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. So come on, man, any yodeh shu ad ha'boker? That's what kol ha'layla means. So mata medlomer ad ha'boker. Why is it saying until morning? What it's telling you is, Tang Boker, the Bokro Shalila. There's got to be another morning, okay? The morning of the night is a physical moment that is distinguished by Alot HaShachar. The Pasuk is telling me that actually there's another Boker that you can relate to, and you do not have to do this at this particular time. And I'm not giving you a moment for when that is. You can get up when you want to, right? That's the Boker Shalila. And therefore, the way to read the Pasuk is like this. The two psukim run hand in hand. Meaning, you can do Haktara Kol HaLayla, you can do Haroma Kol HaLayla. However, it's also telling you, you don't have to do a Haktara from one particular point, which undoubtedly is Chatzot. If you don't give me another point, it's undoubtedly Chatzot. And then I would say, okay, so what does that mean? What that means is that basically, if I don't know when that is, so it must mean that if the whole night is Karshala Haroma, so then I don't have to do Akhtar after Chatzot, which teaches me that Chatzot Oseh Ikul. But it's not telling me that from this point on do Harama. It's just telling me you could do, no longer have to do Haktara. That's all it's telling me. Memela, I'm left with my original understanding. You could do Haktara Kol HaLayla. You could do Aroma Kol HaLayla, but the Haktara Kol HaLayla is only if it's on the Mizbeach anyway. But you don't put it back on the Mizbeach. Because for that, I tell you, look, there's another Boker. Okay, so now you want to decide when it is to do the Aroma. That's up to you to decide. Because the third insisted you do Aroma from any time at all. It's just telling you, you don't need to be mocked here if something falls off. That's all it's telling you. And therefore,
midnight?
But the Chachamim are kovei at midnight in terms of Haktara only. Another Boker before, that comes before the Boker Shalila. And that Boker Shalila is obviously Alos HaShachar. Therefore, the only other time is Chatzot. That's how Rashi learns here. And that's because the word is Ela on Rav Yochanan. Let's throw Rav out, basically. Ela means we got to take a different approach. Now, actually, Rashi in Zvachim does not learn that way. He does not have Ela on Rav Yochanan. He learns that Rav Yochanan is grafted on to Rav. So in other words, if Rav said that we learn out from the Pasuk contradiction, and therefore you run into a problem of the consequences vis-a-vis our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan is simply coming to say that that pasuk only refers to the problem of chatzot osei, and not the way Rav Kahana is saying, but it also has serious implications for the zman of doing Trumat HaDeshen. Not true, says Rav Yochanan. The zman of Trumat HaDeshen is left wide open with the word tain boker. Who's supposed to be taining this boker? The chachamim. The chachamim be koveya. And what does boker mean? Boker means boker tov, when it's time to wake up. And therefore the chachamim are koveya. When is it time to wake up? On a normal day, you got lots of time. Wake up before Avos HaShach. You know, 5 o'clock in the morning. When you've got a lot of work to be done during the day and you're worried about putting everything on the head of the Kohen Gadol, as we'll see, wake up. It's katzot. On the regalim, when there's so many karbonis that are going to be brought in, tons of ash on the Mizbeach and so on, wake up already at 11 o'clock at night, or 10 o'clock at night, whenever. So therefore, it's up to the Chachomim. That's how he learns it there. It depends whether we're Goris Ella or not. If we learn Ella, it's a reference to the entire Pasuk, and we're throwing out the contradiction of the Pesukim, and we're saying there is no contradiction in the Pesukim. Why can't the same time be kosher for HaKtorah and be kosher for HaRoma? It certainly is. And therefore, we're left with the Shir of HaRoma all night long. Good. This is the way we learn here. Okay? So but ultimately, what we've done is we have satisfactorily separated the issue of Chatzot Oseiku from the issue of when you should do the act of Trumat HaDeshen. And that's the point. However, whether we do it by grafting an additional pasuk onto Rav or throwing out Rav's diyuk in the first place like we do with the Lashon Ella is really irrelevant to the answer. The answer is there is no connection between Chatzot Oseikol and this man of HaRoma. That's the point.
Take a shovel and put it down by the Mizbeach.
Correct.
All that is done at whenever it
whenever there's Trumat HaDeshen is. Correct.
And then that allows the rest of the Deshen to be cleared out?
Yeah. It's Truma. That's what's called Truma.
First take the Truma before
you
do the
that's work. A Truma. You take out that one the same way you would take a Truma out from grain, so to speak. Fine. Okay, so therefore, since we have a sliding scale in which we are able to make our own determination, either because, as Rashi says in Zvachim, Boker means whenever you're ready to say Boker Tov, which is Chachamim Rakoveya, or, as Rashi says over here, since the whole night is kosher for HaRoma, therefore, we say like this, Bechol Yom, when there's no particular pressure, Tor Mimet HaMizbeach B'Kriyat HaGever, or near Kriyat HaGever, because again, since it's a sliding time, it doesn't really matter. A little bit before, a little bit after, who cares? So whether it's Bilfanav, Bein Malacharav, Saga, you'll have plenty of time to get the ash out. Now on Yom Kippur, since you have the Chush of the Kohen Gadol, now, there are two Girsaot here. Rashi's Girsa is Chush of the Kohen Gadol. But that implies, we're going to see that's a machloket, that implies that every last thing that is done on Yom Kippur is done by the Kohen Gadol, including the Trumat HaDeshen. In which case, later on, when we talk about the choosing up, the pious, for the Trumat HaDeshen, we could not be referring to Yom Kippur. There would be no pious on Yom Kippur, because it's going to be done by the Kohen Gadol. However, the Rambam and the Rambam learn that there is a pious. That happens to be the Balamor Shittos, like Rashi. If you hold that there is a pious, it means only the Aveda that is Miyuchat for Yom Kippurim must be done by the Kohen Gadol, and other Aveda can be done by any Kohen. Therefore, they take out the words Bishum Chusha the Kohen Gadol, as Tosfos springs from the Riva here. He's not Goris Kohen Gadol, just Bishum Chusha. Whatever Kohen is going to be doing at Trumas HaDeshen is going to be so tired from the tinnitus and so on and so forth. Let's let him do it early while he's still feeling good before he has to work on Yom Kippur where he's feeling schwach. And everybody knows it's an amazing thing. Since it's a tinnitus, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're feeling schwach. I'm starving. What am I going to do? You come into chakras, you fall asleep, smash, bang on your head. What the problem is, I have no idea, since every morning you don't get around to breakfast anyway at that time. But it's a terrible time. Okay, so therefore, recognizing that fact, the poor Kohen's going to be exhausted. If you learn the Chush of the Kohen Gadol, so then what it means is, look, the Kohen Gadol has to do everything. We want to give him a chance to rest a little bit between what he's doing. So we first have him do his early by Chatzos. We saw already we keep him up all night anyway. Okay, so at least he can rest a little bit, you know, before people wake him up, you know. But
he can sleep.
We don't let him sleep,
right?
He can rest. I'm saying if we see him starting to dremel, you know,
yeah.
Of course we won't let the poor guy sleep. God only knows.
Richie, yeah.
Richie.
Yeah.
Richie.
Yeah.
So. but at least he can rest up a bit. So we let him get a little bit of a rest, sitting down, you know, before he has to stand the whole day and do his job. So that would be the 2 years old. So therefore, if it's Yom Kippur, either, as Rashi's going to got to do everything, give him a chance, for heaven's sake, so let him do it. But Regolim, you've got so many people, the Nefishe Yisrael, the Nefishe Korbanot, there are so many Korbanot. Now, that Rashi is Goris, that others take out so many Korbanot, because, I mean, there isn't so many Korbanot yet, they're going to be brought later in the day, who cares if there's a lot of Korbanot, you know, really doesn't matter. But this would be a general on Hagad during the Regel, Rashi would be learning, that because of all of these Korbanot, there's tons of ash on the Mizbeah. Now, part of the Trumat HaDesh is shoveling the ash towards the middle and taking minimal kolot, in which case it's going to take you an hour to clean off the Mizbeah before you even get around to. I mean, who knows? So therefore, you need a lot of extra time. There is a wonderful pshat that is brought by the Tosfos Yeshayahu. It says, you know, basically, who cares if there's a lot of people? What's that? Nogeyahim. It's not time for bringing korbanos yet. So he says the wonderful pshat, which anyone living in the Rova can easily relate to, when there's so many people, you can't move. And therefore, how's the kohen supposed to get the deshen out to take it outside? He's going to push everybody out of the way and so on. It's
the way it's done.
And therefore, start early before the crowds arrive, so the Beis HaMikdash is still walkable in, because otherwise it'll look something like the Rova does during the holidays. Of course, over here, the Ashmura HaRishona is probably worse. You know,
the late night
Rova is, you know, you literally can't get to Meyer because you can't buck the crowd. Terrible. Alrighty, so that gives us an understanding of our stages in the Mishnah. Anyway, you said that the Zman is the Kriyat HaGever, and you said that on the Yontif, gosh, lo hayta Kriyat HaGever, magad. There's so many people there. What does the Kriyat HaGever mean? Is the Gever a person, which is what Gever sounds like? Or who would it be? My Kriyat HaGever. Rav says, well, it's a particular person who is in charge, as we're going to see, of being the Kruz, and he's the guy that goes around waking people up. And that sound is what triggers the Aveda of the Trumas Hadasha. Whereas Reb Shila used to say, Kara Gavra, the Gavra is just another word for the tarnagol, it's for the cock. And as I pointed out, we use that as a euphemism for Gavras even today in all languages. Talk about a cock as being a male for some reason. And then obviously it acts very malish, impregnating all of the tarnagolot, so we call it a cock. But that way we call it a Gavra. And therefore it's not a reference to a person. Now Rav once showed up in Reb Shila's town, and the Amora hadn't shown up that day, which means that poor Reb Shila didn't have a loudspeaker. He needed to give the shir. How was he going to give the shir without an amora? Now, Rav had just walked into town. Nobody knew what Rav looked like. You know, and he just pretended to be just a guy. And when he saw that there was nobody to be the loudspeaker, so to speak, the amora's job was the Tana would, or the one giving the shir, would say over in his ear the shir rapidly. And then at each sentence, he would translate it with explanations for the tzibur. So he was the person that made it palatable to the people that were attending. So Rav gets up and stands in the place of the Meturgeman, and he is Kam Rav Aleh, and Reb Shila accepts him, not knowing that he's Rav, and he starts explaining. And when Reb Shila got in the middle of his drasha to these words, Kriyat HaGever, and he whispered it in Rav's ear, and Rav said it over to the tzibur, and he said, Kora Gavra, the man. Now, of course, that wasn't Reb Shila's belief, is the meaning. So Reb Shila said to him, excuse me, but that should be Kora Tanagula. Lema Mar Kora Tanagula. You should be saying the cock's crow. Omar Lay. So Rav said to him, you know what people say. You play beautiful music with a lovely flute to a Ben Chori, you know? So to him, that's music. You try to play that to a Philistine. He says, that's music. Where's the bongo, you know? So Avuv L'Chori, to a Ben Chori, that's music. But to a weaver, that's a local, you know, it's a cabbie, all right? You're going to play it to a cabbie. He's going to say, what is that sound? Where's a little rock and roll? So you're used to rock and roll in this cheapo place. I'm giving you some beautiful Bach, you know, and you look, gee, what's that? Let me tell you something. There were lots of times when I had a real audience. I mean, I was in Carnegie Hall. Reb Chaya was there. And there I was saying in front of Reb Chaya, Kriyat Agevra Kora Gavra. You know, Reb Chaya was very happy with that pshat, you know? V'lo Amar Li V'lo Midi. He didn't say, excuse me, it's supposed to be Kora Tarnagula. You know, but I come over here to this little shack, you know, in the subway. You know, they had this wonderful story of the concert violinist. They put him down in a subway to see if anybody would give him not a dime. I mean, and this was a guy that takes $10,000 for a performance. In 3 days, he collected $30, I think it was $32, you know. The only one who appreciated him, they have it on video, the only one who appreciated him was this little kid who walked by and he couldn't move. He just sat there for hours listening to the guy. But all of the people that used to pay, you know, $300 a ticket at Carnegie Hall to hear him, they just walk right by. They don't know the difference. Okay. So yeah, I come to this place, you know, it's a subway station. So everybody's saying, where's the bongos? You know. So then you tell me, Ema Kora Tarnagola. So of course, Sheila realized he was up against some serious competition here. He said, oh my God, you must be Rav, Manu Rav. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please sit down. My God, I can't use you as my Meturgama. Menachma. So Rav said to him, well, there's another thing that people say, you know. People say once you accepted a job, if the guy tells you, be a putz, putz amri, go ahead. Sit there and do the lowest class work. You know, this is a class that you basically, I mean, to sit there getting the wool spread out before you can do it. If you tell you to do it, you do it. You took the job, you thought you were going to get a higher class work, you do whatever the work is, you know. So once I was hired, you know, obviously I hired myself. You're telling me I should sit down. I took the job. I was going to see it through to the bitter end, you know, whatever they say. So Amre Inji Tagartale, once you took the job, Potz Amre, go ahead and be Potz his wool too. Or others say what he said to him, and who's going to take my place? You know, Malin Bekodesh, Volomo reading it. Have somebody take Rav's place. Come on. I mean, that's a design for the drosha. You'll never get someone to take my place, so therefore, I can't sit down. Anyway, Lemaisa, we have a Braita that says like Rav, and we have a Braita that says like Rav Shila. They both have serious backing among the Tanoi. Tanya Kavate de Rav and Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Shila. Tanya Kavate de Rav. Givini Cruz. Raita says, there was a particular person. Remember we had all of the names of the people being Kavua by the person who was like the most famous and powerful of the people who would do this. And we called him Givini, the Cruz. What did he used to announce? It was a Cruz. Ma'omer. Oh, his job was to say, Imdu Kanim Lavodatchem. He was basically the one who said, Richie! So he would say every morning, wake up, Levim Laduchanchem, Yisrael Lamaamatchem. Obviously, there was a guy, which is exactly what Rav said. There was a guy who did this work, and he was so powerful. Hayakolon Ishma Bishalosh Parsaod used to be able to hear him 12 kilometers away. In Maisa Agrippas HaMelech. There's once a story with Agrippas who was driving along. Hayababa Derech. He was on his way to Yerushalayim. He still had 12 kilometers to go. He hears this guy shouting in the Beis HaMikdash. Indukanim. He said, oh my God, it's amazing. So when he came home, he immediately called FedEx and sent him a guy, this Shigelo Matanot. What an amazing job. What an amazing, amazing voice. And you think that's something? Ha! That's nothing. Afal Pikin, the Kohen Gadol, is better than he is, okay? Because the Omar Mar, it once happened that the Kohen Gadol said, Ana Hashem for the Vidui, and people in Yericho heard him say, Ana Hashem. And Rabbi Barbachana points out that Rabbi Yochanan said from Yerushalayim to Yericho as the crow flies is 10 parsaot. And okay, not to mention that that's more than three times as far. It's more than that. Yom Kippur, he's fasting, you know, he's feeling really weak. So it is Ika Chulsha. And Gvini Cruz on a normal day, there's no Chulsha. So he's got his full energy. Not only that, in the middle of the day, it's always much harder to hear, right? And the Ana Hashem is the middle of the day. To say, Imdu Kohanim. Yeah, okay, it's night. Everything's quiet. You're far away. Hatam Lailia. It's a big deal. So, you know, 12 kilometers. That's not such a big deal. 40 kilometers in the middle of the day? And Rabbi Levi pointed out, How come you can't hear anything when people talk in the daytime? You say something, you hear somebody, he's talking in the same room. You don't hear him from a mile away like you do at night. That's because during the daytime, the sun shines. How does this, the sun's got to saw its way through the sky. I mean, imagine what a disaster that is. You know, I mean, it must make a lot of noise. Of course, to you, that comes out as white noise. And we'll see, why does it come out as white noise? Because Rome is making so much noise that basically between Rome and the sun, you just don't hear anything else, but you don't pick up any particular sound. You know? So that's the Gal Gal Chamas Benasu Berechia. That's like a carpenter, you know? I mean, if you got to cut your way through these big Arazim. So that's like a Harash, who's Benasu Arazim. Didn't you ever notice in the middle of the day, whenever the sun shines on something, there's a trillion dust particles. Where the heck is all of that dust coming from? Obviously, the sun is sawing its way, you know, and that's the little dust particles. And that's the Chirga, the Yuma, which is called La. It's called nothing. And that's what you see, you know. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was referring to in his song where he said, V'chol dairi ara kela chashivim. All of the inhabitants of earth are just like that. Those dust particles. Particles, you know, and as it's the sawdust of the heavens. And Turner Abonin, if it wouldn't be for the Galgal Chama, we would always be hearing Rome. So you'd be hearing all the noise coming from the wild parties that goes on all day long. That's Kol Hamonah Shel Romi, you know. And if it wouldn't be for Kol Hamonah Shel Romi, you'd be able to hear the call of the Galgal Chama. But since you got all of that noise, what comes out is just pure white noise, but still, it's not letting you hear any of the sounds, you know. So, therefore, the dentist can use it to block the sound of the drill, you know, you use white noise, and that's basically why you can't hear anybody. So, if the Kohen Gadol can be heard, it's amazing. Tana Rabbanan, if you want to talk about these virtual sounds, you know, there are three sounds that are actually heard from one end of the earth to the other, except that nobody ever hears them, but they're heard. And that is the Kol Galgal Chama, the Kol Hamonah Shel Romi, and the call of the Neshama crying as it leaves the body at the moment of death. Kol Neshama B'Sha'ash Yotza Min HaGuf. Some say the sound of birth is just not only the Neshama when it leaves the body, but the Neshama comes in at the moment of birth. Some say radio can make it all over the world too. Neshamim Af Radio. And actually, this doesn't mean radio, it means Ridya. And Ridya is the name of the malach that looks like an eagle. And that is the Bracha to Yosef, Birchas Shamayim Mimal, Birchas Tomer Vetzestachas. And it stands in the middle between the Shamayim Voritz bringing the rain. And the Rabbanan were Mavakish Rachamim on the Neshama, Bishashi Yotzem and Aguf, because that is such a painful moment. And they were Mavatal, that sound. So that's no longer over there. So we have that Brayta like Rav. And we also have a Brayta like Rav Shiva. And where was that? Hayotzeva Derek Kodim Kriyata Gever. Somebody goes out on the road before Kriyata Gever. Now look, I mean, the Kriyata Gever. For heaven's sakes, you're in a Hotel 8 in the middle of Wisconsin. There ain't no Kriyat HaGever from the Beis HaMikdash, according to anybody. Nobody ever hears him in Wisconsin, right? So nonetheless, you're not supposed to go on the road before the Kriyat HaGever, obviously referring to the cock's crow. Where else but Wisconsin anyway? So Domo Berosho, Rabbi Yoshia says, it's not enough just to get one. He has to have two. Then it's time to move. If you go out too early, you're bound to bump into mazikin, which are either the shadim or the muggers. Or whatever. But either way, you're risking your life. And some say you got to have three cockcrows before you leave. Well, I mean, you're telling me every cock crows at exactly the same moment? I mean, that's certainly not the case. What kind of tarnagol are we referring to? Obviously, your average tarnagol, which means there ain't no such tarnagol. So it's the mean tarnagol, you know? So it's the Be'ez tarnagol Amru, Be'tarnagol Beinoni. And there is clearly a raya to Rav Shila. And boy, was it crowded on the regalim. Because lo, I talk Kriyat HaGever Magat, Achay Tazer Amelie, Am Yisrael. Sanad. If I am Shepakumi Agabe Mizbeh, Kodem Chatzot Yach, Zero Moalim Bem, Loyach Chatzot, Loyach Zeve Imbalim Bem. Now that seems to be very arbitrary. Minah Hanimile. Omar Rav, it's a contradiction, and a psukim is the only way to resolve the contradiction. Katuv echad omer kol ha'layla adabor hi ha'ola, which means v'hiktir, right? The katuv echad omer kol ha'layla, and then it reads right into the next pasuk, and it says v'lav asha koin midav ve'rim et adesha. So which way is it? Is it harona or is it haktara? Haketzad must be the Torah is telling you chalkeyu. Which teaches us that chatzot oseh ikul, and that if something falls off after chatzot, there's no longer haktara, and you start your harama after chatzot. Motiv Rav Kahana, how can I mean that? And take a look at our Mishnah. B'chol yom, tormim et ha-mizbeach b'kriyat ha-gevra oseh mochlo, mei milafanav, mei milacharav, b'yom ha-kipurim mei chatzot. That's the only part that is consistent. And Biragolin, Mashmar Harishona, according to you, Rab, Yisak Daita, this din of Chatzot is a Dioraita. How in the world could we be mocked him before Chatzot? And Tosfos has the Girsa, Ve'echi Ma'akarinan, why would we put things off? What happened to the din of Zerisa Makdim Le Mitzvot? El Amar, B'Yochanan, that's not the Makar. The Makar is like this. Basically, the Psukim are not a contradiction. You can have kol alayla for haktara and kol alayla for aroma. So you can choose whenever you want to do the aroma. However, where do I get the idea that there is a din of chatzot or se'ikul? Oh, that's something else. Look, it says kol alayla ad haboker. If it said kol alayla, you know, there's ad haboker. Ma tamid lomar ad haboker. The ad haboker is going on the aroma part, which means tain boker laboker shalayla, and therefore that must be chatzot, in which case that chatzot tells me a din about ikul. That's the pshat. But as far as when to do aroma, do whenever you want. So therefore, I say, that's fine, enough time. Yom HaKippur Mikachusha, either the Kohen Gadol, like Rashi, the Rambam, or like the Nebala Melchomais, or like the Rivo over here, Ikachusha of the Kohen, because you don't need a Kohen Gadol to do the Truma Sandashan. So there Avdina Mechatzot, before the guy feels hungry and weak. The Regolim, the Nefisha Yisrael, Nefisha Karbanot, Avdina Miashmora, get it time. And that the Mishnah explains why. Because it's going to be so crowded and there's so many korbanos, as Rashi adds. Okay, my kriyata gever. So Rav Amar means a guy, you know, gavra. Rav Shila says, no, it means the tarnagol. So Rav equalated Rav Shila once when nobody knew him. So there was no Amora that showed up on time to make him all the Rav Shila. So he gets up to take the place of the Amora. So come Rav Alek. So Rav Shila gets to the part of Kriyat HaGever, and Rav is Mefarish, Kriyat HaGever is Kara Gavra. And Rav Shila whispers to him, no, it's a mistake. Say Kara Tarnagola. I'm like, ha, you know, I never understood the saying. Avuv Lachari is Zamer. But you tell it over to Agardai, lo mekablu amine. And he was very happy when I was Mefarish Kriyat HaGever Kara Gavra. Long live the Lord. I say it in front of you, and all of a sudden you tell me Kara Tarnagola. Oh my life, she was, oi vey, Marni Rav, please sit down. Oh my life, well, you know what people say. Who are you going to get to take my place? Tarnagola is the Rav. That it's referring to a person. Tanik Vesu Rav Shila is referring to a Tarnagol. Tanik Vesu the Rav, Gvini Cruz, he was that person. Because it says over here in the Brighter, what it used to say, Imdu Kohanim Lavodatchem, Levinim Laduchanchem, Yisrael Amamatchem, Vayakolo Nishma, Bishalosh Parsot. It was even a Maisa by Agrippa Samela. He was once on the road, Shama Kolo Bishalosh Parsot. He was so impressed, Kishabala Beitosh Shigelo Matanot. But you should know, Afal Piken, the Kohen Gadol was even greater than that. Meshubach Mimeno. Domar Kvar, it's already happened. Kohen Gadol would say, Ona Hashem, Vishmakolo Biricho. Yomar Rabba Babar Chanam, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim Biricho is Eser Parsai. Not to mention the fact that Yom Kippur is Shvach, he's feeling his tiniest, and on a normal day, like a Chusha. Not to mention the fact. The video Yom Kippur is the middle of the day. And Imdu Kohanim is still nighttime. And we know Amr Belevi Bibnei Ma Ein Kolosh Ladam Nishma Beyom Kederk Nishma Belayla Bibnei Galgal Chamash Menaseh Berakia Kichrash Menaseh Barazim. And that's the Chirga, the Yuma. That's called La. Why did you come to Vuchanetze? V'chol Dairei Ara Kela Chashimi Tana Rabbanan Ilmalei Galgal Chamash. We'd be able to hear Nishma Kol Hamona Shal Rumi Ilmalei Kol Hamona Shal Rumi Nishma Kol Galgal Chamash. Tana Rabbanan Shalosh Kalot Ochi Misof Olam Vatsofo Veloin Kol Galgal Chamash Kol Hamona Shal Rumi V'kol Nishama B'Shah She'Yotze Min HaGuf V'Yesh Omrim Af Leida V'Yesh Omrim Af Lidya. More about our Achmi on the Shema, but sure she has been a good to be Mavatalit. Tanya Kavati, the Rabbi Shila, Hayotzila, the Rakhon Kriyat HaGever, the Mogro Show. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, now it's not enough to have Kriyat HaGever. You need a double Kriyat HaGever. Some say you need a triple Kriyat HaGever. Ubeiz a Tarnagol Omro, but Tarnagol Beinuni.
Okay, today's daf is Daf Chof. And we're holding now at the Mishnah, which is the beginning of the actual work that's going on in the Seder Hayom. We've spoken about what we do to the Kohen Gadol the night before, but there's really no Avodah the night before. We just keep him up. Now we are at the morning of Yom Kippur, and we're going to compare the normal dinim of Avodah to the specific schedule on Yom HaKippurim. We're going to begin with a rousing, with a somewhat rousing Zog Tehillah Mishnah. Bechol Yom Tormim Et HaMizbeach B'Kriyat HaGever O Samuch Lo Bein Lefanav Bein La'acharav. Now, this is a very special din, which Sabah Josh doesn't like very much. Schedules were a little bit loose, a little bit before, a little bit after. And there was a Kriyat HaGever. We'll see what the Kriyat HaGever is. Either the Kriyat HaGever is a reference to a tarnagol. We always, as a matter of fact, in English, we also refer to a tarnagol as a cock, which has a male connotation to it. Here, too, Gever means the male. So, but it also might mean a real person. And the Gever would be the individual who's in charge of waking everybody up and seeing to it that the Beit HaMikdash is functioning.
That was mine.
A little bit before and a little bit after. It keeps you on your feet. It's interesting that the Rambam actually says every day it was at Alot HaShachar. So in terms of astronomical time, it was the same time. The Trumat HaDeshen, and we'll see how that works in the sugya. But that's how he paskins. Seems to run counter to the Mishnah. We'll see that has some important implications. Ubiyom HaKippurim. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about here a Truma of the Mizbeah, which is a formal act of taking a shovel full of the ash that was burnt on the Mizbeah and depositing it next to the Kevesh of the Mizbeach in a special place, which was the Makom HaDeshen. And it would then gradually disappear into the ground. And this was done besides the obvious work that you have to do to keep the Mizbeach burning. You're going to have to get the ashes out of the way. What they used to do is they would let the ash gather in a pile called the tapuach. It's like an apple in the middle of the... Tapuach just comes from a tapuach, swollen. And we use that for swollen fruits, citrus fruits. The esrog is called the tapuach. So there was a tapuach on the Mizbeach, and then when it would reach a size that was respectable enough, we would actually move the whole thing out, take it out, not next to the Mizbeach, but take it out to a place where all of the deshen was thrown that was outside of the machane. So here, according to Rashi and just about everybody else, we are referring to that formal act of Trumat HaDeshen, which was the interesting, very interesting Aveda, because it is the Aveda that actually connects the night to the day. If you think about it, it's utilizing, it's the final step, the final utilization of those things that were burnt during the night, which were actually yesterday's Korbanot. And now there's something that is done in the day that connects what was happening to the night as the beginning of the day's Avodah. And this is why it's a little bit iffy to define its precise moment, because it's a transitional Aveda and therefore has elements that are Lila-oriented and that are Yom-oriented. And this, there are some who want to use the Rambam, as I'll explain momentarily, to give us deeper insight into this. So normally this was done at the Alot HaShachar, which is the time that you would have either the cock's crow or the waking up of the crows in the Beit HaMikdash, either of which could be called Kriyat HaGever, as we'll see. But on Yom Kippur, they used to do the Trumat HaDeshen all the way back at Chatzot, which was midnight. The reason, the Gemara says, the reason that this was done was because all of the Avodah during the day was on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore we wanted to get things done as quickly as possible, as early as possible, before he got really hungry and really tired. And we made it easier for him, especially since we've been torturing him, according to one Mandi Amar, all week, you know. Now, in the Regalim, we have another problem. In the Regalim, we've got millions of people coming in with their karbanos, their karban tagiga, their karban re'iyah, the various things that they've been saving up to bring. And here they've got 7 days, the things they've been keeping all year to bring. It's tremendous, tremendous lachatz in the Beit HaMikdash during this period. And what we try to do is get everything ready so that at the first moment of the day, we will be able to bring all of their karbanot. And we're not allowed to bring korbanot until we take care of the Tamei Shel Shachar. So we have to have everything completed on the Mizbeach, have the Mizbeach cleaned off, ready to go, because there won't be any room if we haven't taken care of it. And so therefore we go all the way back to the Ashmura HaRishona. Now the truth is, it's a little bit problematic. Now, this is how Rashi understands. It's a little bit problematic because there isn't all that much you can do. It's still nighttime. You're not allowed to do any of the avodah in the days. So what's the point? Going back to the Ashmura HaRishona, which is really only the end of the first third of the night. I mean, what the heck are you going to do for the next, you know, whatever, 9 hours, nine technical hours? So, therefore, others learned that the reason that we go back to the Ashmura Rishona was because the Azara people started coming in the middle of the night like a rock concert, Lahavdil, you know, you have to sit there days before to get in line. People started arriving very, very early. And therefore, there was so much traffic and so much pressure that they would have an actual logistical problem in getting around, moving around to take the deshen off and to clean off what was necessary. So they didn't need the time, but they needed they needed to get away from the traffic. So by going back to the Ashmura HaRishona, this is how the Rosh learned, going back to the Ashmura HaRishona, they actually were able to keep a clean field for their work. And then, you know, Chidami, they, you know, can go back to bed. But they needed to take care of the Trumat HaDeshen. V'lo haita kriyat ha-gever maga'at during the regal? Whew, man. By the time the kriyat ha-gever, which was the time that we would normally do Trumat HaDeshen, and there was nobody there, and we were just waking up, during the regal, by the time kriyat ha-gever came, ha-chaita azaram aleyam yisur, the entire azar was packed by that time. So you're talking about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was too late to start playing around now to do the Trumat HaDeshen. Usually the first third comes before the last third. But you never know. In a world of... Tznanata. Evarim shepok'u. Hey, you know what? We didn't get your South African good morning.
Good morning.
A late one is it?
Nasty. Rosh Chodesh, that's right. Tnan hata. Evarim shepak'u me'al gabei ha-mizbeach, kodem chatzot yachziru mo'alin behem, le'achar chatzot lo yachzir ve'in mo'alin behem. Now here we have another interesting transitional phase. Here it's not a time transition. Here it's a physical transition. We take an aver, we put it on the mizbeach, it's now burning. Suppose it falls off of the mizbeach while it's burning. Pops. Has it already completed? Is our mitzvah just put it on the mizbeach, make sure that the fire of the mizbeach is on it? Esha mizbeach tu kadbo. Okay, it fell off. That's my business. I mean, it doesn't have to be turned into deshen. Or is the fact that it still hasn't itself been turned into deshen, I had an opportunity to take the deshen from it, does that mean that it's still in the process of asiyat mitzvato? The klal is when it comes to me'ila, which is the misuse of Hegdash funds or Hegdash property, but especially we're talking over here about kochim that are kochim haguf, it's the actual utilization of something that has the kedusha of Hegdash, you would still be moel until it's completely done with the mitzvahs that need to be done to it. So normally we would say, look, if it's completely burned, there's nothing to be moel if it's finished. Suppose it's not completely burned. Falls off of the Mizbeach. Very interesting Mishnah that says that it depends on the time for some reason. See, we have now, we cross the logistical with the temporal. Somehow or other, magically, Chatzos will make a difference. If it falls off before Chatzot, then the mitzvah is seen as not having been done. If it falls off of the Mizbeach after Chatzot, and even though physically it hasn't turned into ash, it's been burned, but it isn't ash, it's still considered to be finished with its mitzvah. Now that seems to be exceedingly arbitrary. Where would we get a concept like that? Yes, Lamar, where would we come up with a thing like that? Omar Rav, Rav says, look at the opening to Parashat Tzav. And you have what appears to be a contradiction. On the one hand, it starts off with this very dramatic Tzav et Aaron vet banav lemor zot Torah ta'ola. Hi ha'ola al mogda al ha-mizbeach kol ha-layla ha-boker ve'ish ha-mizbeach tukad bo. What that is saying is, ad ha-boker eish ha-mizbeach tukad bo. It's meant to be there until the morning, and the fire should be just going at it until the morning, right? Very clear implication in the fridge. On the other hand, the pasuk then continues, in the very next pasuk, continues to say, V'lavasha kohen mido bad, v'rimet ha-deshen, asher tochala eish tohala la-mizbeach. It doesn't say any particular time that the kohen's supposed to do that. So on the other hand, the mashmaut of the pasuk is that you sort of have your choice. You can leave it on the mizbeach ad ha-boker, or a kohen can take it, either. A kohen can take it and view it as deshen and make off with it. I mean, if it isn't really deshen, how can you make off with it? So, therefore, says Rav, if on the one hand we're told that kol ha-layla leading directly into vihiktir, that the Haktorah al-Mogda should be done all night long. On the other hand, it says kol ha-layla and then goes right on vehirimet ha-deshen, which means that it's all suitable for harama. Haketzah, how to explain that? Chalkeu must be saying that you've got to split the night into two. Chetziola Haktara, the first part of the night, being as it's talking about the whole night, and it's saying something contradictory, it can't possibly mean the whole night is either or, can it? Therefore, what it must be saying is that there is a moment at the night from which we will change the status of this thing to be from vihiktir, and vihiktir would mean if it falls off, you put it back on, that's vihiktir, to the harim, so to speak, that it's no longer considered to be something that you need to be maktir. If I don't need to be maktir, then there's no more mitzvah to be done with it. There's no mitzvah to be done with it, then there's no me'ila. Technically speaking, this is called chatzot oseh ikul. Ikul means digestion or consumption. It's been completed. The chatzot halayla creates the state of ikul halachically, whether or not it was actually mu'ukal. Now, the Gemara in Zvachim clarifies that we're not talking about something which hasn't been burned. Because besides eish ha-mizbeach tukad bo, there's obviously, it's unreasonable not to simply say that if it's ash, it's ash, and if it's aver, it's aver, and we get the idea that we should just arbitrarily apply a particular time limit to it. But what we're talking about is something that has been carbonized completely, but has not turned into ash. So the question is, do I need to continue to be makter it, even though the eish ha-mizbeach is finished being tukad bo? Because it's no longer it, it's no longer the aver, it's not just basically carbon remnants of it. So on that particular case, where something has been completely burned, but hasn't been turned into an actual soft ash, so there it depends. If it's before chatzot, put it back on. If it's after chatzot, forget about it. And that's what the pasuk is referring to. The reason that we're bringing this in here, where it seems to be irrelevant to us, is because we are now about to ask from our Mishnah on this assumption. Masi Rivkahan, b'chol yom tormim et ha-mizbeach b'kriyat ha-geva, o samuch lo, bein milafanav, bein milaacharav. Normally we would wait until kriyat ha-geva, which is basically alot ha-shachar, which is the... How do you say alot ha-shachar in English? How do you say alot ha-shachar?
Dawn.
I mean, there's different ways of measuring. No, Nates is sunrise. Dawn. Yeah. I mean, there's various ways of defining dawn. There's various ways of defining dawn, so it depends how many degrees under the horizon the sun is, but that's already different issues that have to do with the sugyas we saw earlier about what Bein HaShemeshot is and so on. In any event, so next to Kriyat HaGever, before a little bit afterwards, continues our Mishnah, but on Yom Kippur we go back to Chatzot, and on the Regalim we go back to Shmona Harishona. Now, I don't understand what you are saying, Rav. I mean, Isa Gadaitach Mechatzot Yoraita. If you are telling me that when it says over here, Chatzot, it actually means that we're splitting the night into two parts. We're saying that, look, part of the night is for Harama, part of the night is for Haktara. Well, that would imply that the first part of the night is not for Harama. So how in the world could we go and back to the Ashmora HaRishona? Hechi Magdimina. Rashi doesn't like the next words, Hechi Ma'achrinan, because what's the problem? I mean, it just says from Chatzos onwards, as they have to start at Chatzos. Tosfos says, well, if it says Hechi Ma'achrinan, it would be because Rizim Magdimim LeMitzvah. If the Torah gives you a time for which the mitzvah is ra'ui to be done, which is Chatzot, why not do it then? I'm going to put it off for no particular reason. So Tosfos says we can even have this girsa of Hechi Ma'achrinan. But in other words, the way Rav phrased the limud is that there was no particular concentration on the aspect of the physical state of what it is that we're picking up. It's basically the Torah is saying half of the night is meant for Haktorah, half is meant for Harama. Now you got to use your brains about what happens if it falls off. But if that's true, then we have a problem. How do we move the time of the Haramat to Trumat HaDeshen backwards before Chatzot? You can see that this is a little bit awkward, the question. Because, I mean, the easy thing that you would have thought right away without having to go through this is to say that, no, Rav was only referring to those things that were neither Deshen nor pure Eivah. And then this wouldn't be a question. If you have Deshen, well, of course, why not be Merim as a Deshen before? Because of that, the Tosfos has an entirely different approach to the whole sugya, which is actually based on a girsa that Rashi says, I don't know what the heck this girsa is. And that girsa is, what was the Tana referring to? Which Rashi says, what do you mean, what is it referring to? It's not referring to anything. He said, Tana of our Mishnah wasn't referring to anything. Tana of our Mishnah was just writing. Says Tosfos, no. The Tana of our Mishnah is referring to which Truma? The Truma Tadeshin that is done every day? Or what the equivalent of Truma is? Something that pops off of the Mizbeach is considered to have already been removed. Now that is a very strange interpretation. But okay, it makes the continuation of the sugya a little bit easier. But we'll take the normal path here. Okay, so the normal path was, the way Rav phrased it, is that the Iker Limud from the Pasuk, please, when you go out, close the door behind you immediately. Yeah. So when you darshan the Pasuk, in which your Pasuk is telling you you have half a night to do the Truma and half a night to do the Haktara, it's only an application of that general halacha that tells you, okay, so then if it's a question of what I need to do, something fell off of the Mizbeach, after half of the night, where it's not time for the Haktara, I will view that as mu'kal. It's not that the Iker drush is in terms of Ikum. If that's the case, then you have to ask yourself, but what about the simple meaning of the drasha? Why don't I need to do, as Tosfos is learning, at Chatzos to Trumat HaDeshen, or at least, why do I have a right to do Trumat HaDeshen before it's time for the Trumat HaDeshen, which is the only kash according to Rashi?
That's like the stuff that don't need to burn on there, or are you possibly putting
stuff
back on?
No, we're talking about stuff that is burnt. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, the way you just read that drasha is not right. Here's how to do it. If the Torah says kol halayla, when it says all night, how do you understand the word all night? I mean, doesn't all night mean to any idiot ad haboker? Isn't that what all night means? All night until the morning. Isn't it a little bit silly for the Torah to say all night until the morning? Just say all night. So if the Torah says kol halayla eni yodea shu ad haboker, well, I'm not intelligent enough to know that the night ends in the morning. So matam lomer ad haboker. Why does it say until the morning? It must be adding a morning. That's the point. In other words, it's saying that halachically there is another dawn to consider, a halachic dawn, a technical dawn. Tain boker lebokro shalayla. You've got to add a technical morning to the morning that would otherwise have been assumed, which comes at the end of the night. That's the point. And that morning is there basically to tell me the halacha. We know we have Alot HaShachar. There's another morning over here. From that morning, there is no chiyav of continuing to be makter if it fell off. That's what it's saying. So the haktara ends at a technical morning. Since it doesn't define what that morning is, it leaves us with the only possible definition, which is always midpoints. If it's not telling you what, so I understand that it means, okay, the difference between the nighttime and the morning could only be objectively understood, if it isn't literally in the morning, the midpoint. So that in the sense that I am now headed towards morning, so that becomes now an earlier dawn. You can't possibly say that otherwise that it would be before that, or at some arbitrary point after that. How am I supposed to know what that arbitrary point is? Mamela, it has to be chatzot. That's the point. Which teaches us that chatzot ose ikul. It doesn't teach us a darn thing about the Trumas HaDeshen. This is not referring to the Trumas HaDeshen. It's saying there is some other technical point in which we view it as the end of Haktara time, a morning, which could only be Chatzot. Vis-a-vis what possible question? Vis-a-vis the question, if something is not ash, I'm not talking about Trumas HaDeshen, something is not ash, does it need to be restored to the Mizbeach, or does the Mizbeach create a technical state of equal digestion defined by that morning? So that we avoid the whole problem, the way Rabbi Yochanan is putting it. Therefore, continues Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchach, therefore, our Mishnah follows beautifully. Sagi, that's because that's enough. But we're talking about the Trumat HaDeshen now. We're not talking about this thing about poking, things that fell off. Kohen Gadol is feeling awfully weak, so we don't want to tire him out. Abdinan Michatzot. Now Tosis brings a raya from here that it seems to be saying that the Kohen Gadol has to do the Trumat HaDeshen, which is a tremendous chiddush. Because the Trumat HaDeshen essentially is the work of the night. So why does the Kohen Gadol have? It's the only the Avodat Yavyom HaKippurim. That's not the one who puts things on the Mizbeach during the night. And here is where some say brilliant. This is from Rav Malin Zatzal. A brilliant shot based on the Rambam. Malin. Rav Leib Malin. Who's a Rosh Yeshiva in New York. Very, very... Man, I mean, it's, I think, 40 years already that he was Nifter, but it was like the place in America. It's equivalent to Brisk here. Had that special shape. Anyway, so he said the pshat is like this. According to the Rambam, the B'chol Yom, the reason the Rambam says B'chol Yom we do the Trumat HaDeshen at dawn is because he's telling you that the Trumat HaDeshen is an Avodat HaYom. If it has to be done after the dawn, so every day, indeed, it's Avodat HaYom, the Kohen Gadol would have to do it. Therefore, we make it earlier so the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to do it. That's the point. Nivnei Chosha the Kohen Gadol. It's got a whole different approach. Otherwise, you learn that, okay, the Kohen Gadol has to do it. Let him do it and then get a chance to get a rest again. Like this is going to be going the whole time straight from the Trumat HaDeshen in the morning. So let him do it at Chatzot, and at least he'll be sitting around the... Can't go to sleep. Nobody will let him go to sleep. But at least he'll be able to get a little bit of a rest from the avodah that he did. Others learn that the pshat is, this Tosus brings other than the Balei Tosus learn, that it doesn't mean the Kohen Gadol does it at all. It means that in order for the Kohen Gadol to be able to start the avodah sayom as early as possible, so therefore we want to get everything out of the way. We don't want it to extend into the morning, so we do it at midnight to make sure that it is done. So therefore, we have now two different types, possibly, of Trumat HaDeshen. A Trumat HaDeshen, that's why I mentioned earlier, Trumat HaDeshen is a transitional Aveda between Laila and Yom. Indeed, it's possible it's transitional to the extent that it can be viewed as an Avodat HaYom in some circumstances, if I do it after the Alot HaShachar, and therefore we'll be Mechayim even a Kohen Gadol, or I can view it, if it's done earlier, as an Avodat HaLaila. This is a very unique thing, because otherwise we always define it either Kol HaKosher B'Yom, Kol HaKosher B'Laila, Kosher Kol HaLaila, Kosher B'Yom, Kol HaYom, and so on. So Trumat HaDeshen is the way in which we begin now our transition between Leil Yom HaKippurim and the Avodas HaYom of Yom HaKippurim. The next piece that the Mishnah said was that the Dergolim, the Nefishe Yisroel, the Nefishe Korbanot, Avdinan Me'ashmoret HaRishona. Why? Kidiktani time. It's just what the Mishnah says. Lo Haita Kriyat HaGever Magat, Ach Haita Zerah Me'Leah Yisrael. So it wasn't time for the Kriyat HaGever, whatever that means, by the time that would come, which would be the time on a normal day we'd be starting the Trumat HaDeshen, the Azara was already filled with people. Therefore, we go all the way back to Ashmorah Rishonah. By the way, what is Kriyat HaGever? So Rav Amar Korah Gavra. Rav says the sound of the kruz, the announcer, who would wake everyone up in the Beit HaMikdash, when you heard his voice, that was the time to begin doing the Trumat HaDeshen. Rav Shila Amar, no, it means Korah Tanagula. It means the cock's crow. That's all that it means. Now Rav, this is really cute, Rav once came to Rabbi Shila's town and didn't tell anybody who he was. So he goes into the Beit HaMidrash, Rabbi Shila is giving a drasha. And remember that in those days they didn't have this little device, Richie, hello? Uh-oh. Uh-oh, look at that.
We just ran out of battery power.
Yeah, look at that. We ran out of battery power. At the very moment, incredible. We now need to do the cruise. Unbelievable. All right, it's okay. No, it has an emergency come up in order not to damage the circuitry. I don't think it works directly for them. It says it needs to have a charged battery in order to work. It's fine. We'll manage one day. When I was talking about this cruise, you could hear him for miles away. Certainly should be able to do it, but just me. So he comes into Rav Shila's Beit Midrash. So in those days, they didn't have this microphone. So what they used to do is that the one who was giving the shir would basically speak to what was known as a meturgaman. The meturgaman was the announcer who would explain everything, would say it over, and words that were used that people didn't know the explanation of, he would translate the words for them. So what happened was is that Rav Shila now is talking to who he doesn't know is Rav, assuming that he's a guy that came along and he's an expert at doing the tirgum, since the meturgaman. So he's telling him over the sugya over here, and so kam Rav alei the kavafarish. When Rav had to say over what Rav Shila was saying about the Mishnah, he would translate the word Kriyat HaGever into Korah Gavra, which of course was not what Rav Shila held. And Rav Shila wasn't too happy. So Rav Shila says, "Excuse me, Lemamar Korah Tanagula. Please get it right. Say cocks crow." Amalei's Rav says to him, Avuv lechori zemer, legardoi lo mekablu amine. You know what they say? If you come in with a beautiful flute concerto and you give it to cultured people, they appreciate it. You walk into a bunch of teenagers and they're asking, so where's the boom, 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 boom? And they don't appreciate it. Exactly the same over here. I give you a beautiful explanation, like a beautiful concerto, but you got no culture and you're telling me I should say Tarnagola. What the heck is wrong with you? You know how many times when I was standing in front of Rabbi Chia, it was a Tana, Umafrishna, and I explained as his returgaman my Kriyat HaGever Korah Gavra, and he was very happy. Velo Amaloi Velo Midi. But you, a second generation, you tell me, say, Korah Tarnagula. Omalei, oh God, Marniu Rav, oh my God, I had no idea who you were. What a bizoyan I have you. Please, Menachmar, just go and sit down. I would never have allowed you to be my beturgaman. Omalei said to him, well, you know what people say? Amri inchi, itagartele putzamri. If a guy has hired you for the day, and then it turns out the work he wants to give you is carding wool, which is like, I come in here with my big muscles and my tools, you're telling me to card wool, which any little girl can do. Once you're hired to a job, card the wool. Okay, so this is a crummy job. I got a guy like you that I have to translate for, but they say do the work, you know? Ikad amri hochi amri, some say, no, it's too late. Malin bekedish velo maridin. I mean, I already started. Who are you going to get now? I mean, what if he's like, you're going to go down? You can't go down. There's nobody to go up with, so I'll just have to continue. Very good story. Tanya Kavasidur, Rav Tanya Kavasidur. They smiled. So there is, in fact, a Brisa like Rav, and there is a Brisa like Rav Shila. Tanya Kavasi de Rav. There's a brisa that says, as Rav did, that the mention of Gever was an actual person. Because it says in this brisa, Gvini Cruz, and again they gave the name of the job to the guy who was best at it, or the first one to say, his name was Gvini. So Gvini, who was the announcer, would be the one who would wake everyone up. Mahu Omer, what was his standard announcement in the morning? Imdu kohanim labodatchem, levihim leduchanchem, Yisrael lemamatchem, vaya kolonishma b'shalosh parsaot. You could hear his voice 12 kilometers away. Maase be'agripa samelach. Once Agripa samelach was on the road, hayababa derech, v'shama kolov b'shalosh parsaot, he heard him from 12 kilometers away. He was tremendously impressed. Kishabala beito, when he came to Yerushalayim, to his palace, shigerlo matanot, he sent him special gifts. Gifts as a sign of the approval of the king. But that's nothing. Zafapik and Kohen Gadol is Meshubach Mimeno. Kohen Gadol is a lot better voice than he has. The Omar Mar, we're told that Kvar Omar Ana Hashem, it happened that a Kohen Gadol was saying over the Vidui, and he said, Ana Hashem, the Chatati, and so on. And you could hear it, Nishma Kolo B'Yericho. You could hear his voice all the way in Yericho. The Omar Rabba Bar Barchan Amr of Yochan. From Yerushalayim, the Yericho is Eser Parsaot. Now that's hard to square. The Parsa actually equals the 4 kilometers, which is the standard that we take. It's obviously Yericho is not that far. But in any event, as the crow flies. Well, sometime it was Bederach Nes, and they asked, why isn't this listed in the Asar Nisim? They answered, because it only happens in time. Asar Nisim were all the time. And Omar Rabba Barbachan, Omar Yochum Yerushalayim, Yericho is 10 parsaot. Not to mention the fact that on Yom Kippur, that Kohen is not in the best of physical, he's really weak. Gvini Cruz was a regular day. I mean, he might have had a bunch of Gvina in the morning with his coffee and really be strong. Furthermore, Hacha Yamama, Vatam Lailia, Gvini Cruz, it's easy to hear things at night. You hear things from miles away. But over here, the Kohen Gadol, to hear Yericho is already in the middle of the day by the time he's saying Onah Hashem. To be able to hear it in the middle of the day is wild. Because, after all, Rabbi Levi explained, how come you can't hear? This is a strange thing. How come you don't hear things in the daytime? Well, the truth is, there's an awful lot of noise all the time. The thing is, you just sort of got used to it, you see. I mean, if we'd be living here for the past few thousand years, and this crazy guy was banging away on his drill, we would think that that's the nature of silence. So you see, so every day, you've got the sun going through the sky. I mean, I think it's going through the sky. It's a sawmill. You know, but so you can't hear anything because you've got all that sawing going on. This is very, very cute, Sergey. No, please. So the Galgal Chama is sawing through the sky. You ever see a carpenter saw through a cedar tree? Boy, is that noisy. Have you ever noticed in the shaft of sunlight, you've got all this little sawdust in there. Where do you think that sawdust comes from? You see, it's coming from the sun sawing through. And the name of it is La, which means nothing. Behind it, the Gemara Nebuchadnezzar, which is what Nebuchadnezzar was referring to when he said, V'chol dayore ara kilach hashiv, and it's spelled with a hey over there. All of the dwellers upon the earth are to you like sawdust, or less, because this is La. It's almost not there at all. But because of the noise, you don't hear what's going on. And actually, Tana Rabbana, il male galgal chama, if it wouldn't be for that noise, you see, nishma kol hamonash romi, wherever you'd be on earth, you'd be hearing the noise of the west. That's really what the noise is during the day. It is so noisy. Whatever it is, right? If it's the cars, or if it's just there's a general buzz in the world. Nobody can hear anything. All the mefarshim say, obviously, we're not referring to physical noise. I mean, you can't hear Rome 3,000 miles away, but there's a constant buzz in the world from what's going on. I mean, obviously, the sun doesn't saw it through the sky either. The umale kol amonasho romi. And if it wouldn't be for that constant buzz, you'd actually be aware of the difference of the day and the night. And you would hear the kol galgal chama. Tana rabbanan shalosh kolot ochi misof olam v'ad sofo. There's three things that are always heard across the globe. The kol galgal chama, which we mentioned. Kol amonasho romi, just the noise of civilization. The kol nishama b'sha'ashi yotza min aguf. The noise that is made by a soul departing from the body, the moment moment of death. That also makes an immense impact. I feel a disturbance in the force. So that call is heard across the universe. V'yesh omrim af leida. Same thing is true at birth. You have that same disturbance in the force. V'yesh omrim af radio. Radio can also go across the universe. And actually, radio here is Ridia, which refers to the Malach who's in charge of the rain. And Bo Rabbanan Rachame Neshama Bishashi Otzamen Agufu Batlua. The Rabbanan felt that the pain of mortality of to be that much is just too destructive. They were mevat on that. We don't have that sensitivity to that. Except Tanya, this is a brisa. Then that actually backs Rav's approach because it says over here Gvini Cruz. It talks about who that Geber was. Clearly, the Gabra was a particular person. But there's... Sorry? No. There's also a brighter, Tanik of Azir Pshila. Ayotzi l'derech kodem kriyat ha-gever domo v'rosho. Somebody who goes out, obviously here it's talking about a guy who's traveling in Timbuktu. If he goes, certainly not talking about Gvini Cruz, he's talking about the cockscrow. A guy who goes out before it's good daylight, so he's taking his life in his hands. It's not the way to travel. There's all types of dangerous things out there. Stephen King's and stuff like that. You don't want to go out there in the night. Yeah. Bump. And therefore, he's responsible for his own life if he does that. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Ach Yishaneh. You got to hear two crows of the cock. V'yesh Omrim Ach Yishalesh. No. He's got to give you a good three. Now, the problem is, which cock? Because they all sort of have a different alarm. So, Be'ezer Tarnagol Omru. The standard, the one that's kept in the Bureau of Standards, the Tarnagol Beinoni. So that's a sort of a happy kind of cock that just, he does it not too early, doesn't have to impress anybody. He's not lazy, doesn't go too late. So the kind of cock in the middle, if he gives three, you're already safe to go outdoors.
Israel on the regalim. That just chatzot, a moment in time, should define the difference of an aver being ready to burn or not. Which is essentially vihiktir. On the other hand, it continues on to say, I make up your mind. Split it into two chetzulak tarav and chetzulak rama. Mati Rav Kahana. But then what about our Mishnah? If you're right, that's fine, I got enough time, sagi. But by Yom Kippurim, my kriyata gever, Rav amar kora gavra, Rabbi Shila amar kora tanagula. Once Rav came to Latri to Rabbi Shila, and there was no amora, the make him a Rabbi Shila, so Rav volunteered, come Rav alava, come a farish, my kriyata gever, kora gavra. Amale Rabbi Shila, excuse me, but lema amar kora tanagula. Amale, yeah, that's what people say. Avuv lachari is a zemer, but legardai, he's that too low class taxicab driver, doesn't hear it. Lo mekablu amin. He appreciated it. Shame. Oh God, Marni Urav, Ninechma. Too late. והיה קולו נשמע בשלוש פרסאות מעשה באגריפס המלך שהיה בא מהדרך ושמע קולו בשלוש פרסאות וכשבא לביתו שיקר לו מתנות ואף על פי כן כהן גדול as much more than him דיום אמר כבר אמר עונה השם ונשמע קולו ביריחו ויום הרבה ברבחון המרגוח משלם יריחו עשר פרסי ואף אגב דוח יקחו שווה כלך הכל שווה כיממה ואתם לילה you don't hear in the day דיום רבי לוי מפני מים קולו של אדם נשמע ביום כדרך ששמע בלילה מפני גלגל חמה שמנסר ברקיע כחרה שמנסר בארזים והי חיר גדיום הלשמי והיינו דוקם הרנו וחנץ וכל דיירי הרה כלא חשיבית תן רבנו ימלא גלגל חמה נשמע כל המונה של רומי ימלא כל המונה של רומי נשמע כל גלגל חמה תן רבנו שלוש קולות הולכים מסוף עולם ועד סופו ואלוהים כל גלגל חמה כל המונה של רומי וכל נשמה בשעה שיוצאה מן הגוף ויש אומרים אף לידה ויש אומרים אף רידיה ובו רבן רחמי הנשמה בשעה שיוצאה מן הגוף וביטלוה תענה כבר זה רב שילה היוצא לדרך קודם קריאת הגבר דמו בראשו רבי יושיע אומר עד שישנה יש אומרים עד שישלש ובאיזה תרנגול אמרו בתרנגול בינוני